and Dujanovic. Special coverage of the top national stories.
Fast food workers are signing these things to attorneys, to doctors, to journalists, all working under these non-compete agreements. And in a nutshell, this is, you can't take a job offer from a competitor. The Federal Trade Commission just issued a ruling that voids these agreements. 30 million Americans are impacted by this ruling.
I had absolutely no idea so many people were under these quote-unquote non-competes. I just had no idea it was 30 million Americans. And I think you can absolutely celebrate if you're the employee. If I'm an employer, you just got a big black eye. Because this was a ton of leverage you had to keep your employee in place.
Well, what they do, to your point, is they're these contracts, and you sign them when you take a job. It might be attached to your income. It might not be. It might be just a separate agreement that you won't jump ship to somebody else who comes knocking and offers you a better, you know, benefits package or more salary. It also keeps people from starting their own companies. You can't run out the door and say, like, I'm going to start my own company now. You may have a non-compete that says you can't do that, and you've signed it.
And I wonder how this will play out, because I think of the sports world, a coach, a player, where they sign a contract for an amount of money. Can they just up and leave now? Because, like, is this contract void? Or can you still willingly sign a contract? Is that the workaround? You'll remember this was something that the president had talked about in the State of the Union. Let me play a little bit from President Biden talking about non-competes.
30 million workers have to sign non-compete agreements for the jobs they take. 30 million. So a cashier at a burger place can't walk across town and take the same job at another burger place and make a few bucks more. It just changed. But they just changed it because we exposed it. That was part of the deal, guys. Look it up.
That does sound like I'm not sure how often this was happening at the $12 an hour burger joint, you know, where they're signing non-compete
agreements. Well, so I just listened to an interview, a lengthy interview with the head of the FTC, and she said fast food workers, security guards, nurses, engineers, veterinarians, even a casino worker got an offer to take a job across the street, couldn't accept it because they were under a non-compete agreement. The offer would have given that worker more money, better benefits, couldn't accept it. So let me tell you what I know while we wait to get Brian Clark from ABC News on the line, what I know about this new rule, and that is it makes current non-compete. So if you're under one right now, it voids them.
Oh, wow. Effective immediately.
Yeah. And it prohibits employers from enforcing new agreements. Now, there's more to this story. It's not done yet. There is also a bit of a runway before this rule takes effect. So it's going to be a couple of months out before it officially takes effect. Brian Clark with ABC News standing by live for us in New York right now. Walk us through what this will look like for workers who have signed away on the dotted line on these non-competes, Brian.
Well, the vast majority of these workers, and good morning, will not be governed by these non-competes anymore. There's a very small percentage, about 1%. The FTC says senior executives who make over $151,000 a year, if they've already signed a non-compete, those are still good. They're grandfathered in going forward. But for everybody else, a non-compete is no longer enforceable. And then for others, it can no longer be implemented in a new contract for anybody.
When does this take effect?
So it's set to take effect in 120 days once it's entered into the Federal Register. But I think we could say it's not going to take effect in 120 days because of the legal challenges that are coming. You would imagine that courts are going to put a hold on this, put a stay until courts, who knows, maybe the Supreme Court makes a final decision on whether this is lawful and whether the FTC can do this.
Brian, explain what you know about the FTC and this rulemaking authority that it has. The explanation I heard is that from the head of the FTC is that Congress has granted them this authority to deal with what would be considered unfair, like business practices. Can you explain that?
That's correct. So the Congress has given, you know, certain agencies power. It's like, you know, the Food and Drug Administration has been given power to come up with rules about what goes into a medication or things like that. So it's one of those agencies that has that power. And the power is, so then by that, it could take the direction of really a political goal. It's a Democratic chairwoman, Lina Khan. She has been very forceful against, you know, antitrust actions. But at the same time, the two Republicans that are on the commission, they voted against it. So if Donald Trump wins the election in November and this is still on hold, a new chairman could come in and just say, you know what, we're not going to do this. So this is not exactly settled. What the argument I would imagine will be is that the powers Congress has given the FTC, this goes well beyond those powers, and this is just going too far.
But I understood that an attorney ran to federal court in Texas and filed a lawsuit against this almost immediately as soon as it passed. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I would think that we're going to see probably multiple lawsuits.
What are the arguments and justifications for a non-compete clause and to maintain it?
So the arguments to maintain it would be if I own, let's say I own a hair salon. I was just speaking with some folks in St. Louis, and they said a lot of the hair people in the city are governed by non-competes. So if I own this hair salon and I sign you to, if I don't have a non-compete, my best employee, you could be telling your client, hey, I'm going to open my own place in a few weeks. Come with me there. So me as the owner, I've now put you in business, but you're going to take my clients and use it to run your own thing. That's the best argument, that it hurts those companies, those employers, and makes it harder for them to stay in business, that things will topple because of that.
And the argument for getting rid of them is that would increase competition for employees, and so perhaps employees would get a better benefits package if they were able to jump ship without waiting out a year or something like that under these non-compete agreements, which basically you can't go to work under many of these agreements in a year or maybe longer after you leave one employer.
Exactly. So the argument to get rid of them and the argument the FTC went with is going back to the example I just said, but let's imagine this fictional hair salon. It's stopping people from opening businesses, from investing in new business. The FTC is saying it's stifling innovation because somebody who might have a really good entrepreneurial idea can't go forward with it because of the agreement that they're held to. So that's the argument that the FTC used. And like you said, there are going to be economic benefits, according to the FTC, for workers. They think the average employee over the next 10 or so years, their yearly wages, just because of this, will go up by about $500 a year.
Thank you so much.
Brian Clark, ABC News, thank you for joining us out of New York.
Straight ahead, let's go in-depth with Greg Skordas, our legal analyst here at KSL News Radio, on how this new rule that might get rid of non-compete agreements will affect Utahns who've wound up signing them with their employer. That's next.
Janovic. Special coverage of the top national story.
We're talking about this new ruling. It's a new rule by the Federal Trade Commission that voids non-compete agreements. 30 million Americans, many, many Utahns, are under these agreements with their employers, Dave, that says you can't compete, can't go to work for the guy across the street for a year if you quit this company. And those are now void under this rule, but it may be a temporary void because it sounds like there's going to be lots of legal challenges.
Selfishly, I celebrate it. As a worker bee myself, I think we can celebrate this because the more we can compete with other places and, you know, pit each other companies against each other, try to give us the best, I get the benefits there. I also see the arguments and the justifications of why you need a non-compete clause in a contract. They train you, they connect you with the clientele, and then you steal their trade secrets and start your own little side hustle, your own company? That's unfair too.
But the people that were under these agreements, according to the FTC, were like, some of them were fast food workers. There's a casino worker who was under them. It's everywhere from security guards to attorneys were finding themselves signing these agreements. And the FTC said that that's an unfair business model to keep people from going seeking employment across the street or getting a better benefits package. The FTC found that that was just unfair. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, live on the line with us. What do you think this ruling, we know it's already being challenged. There was an attorney who ran to federal court in Texas, I think it was yesterday, the minute this rule passed, and filed a lawsuit. But what do you think this will look like for Utah workers?
You know, it probably not very significant, and I'll tell you why. The Utah Supreme Court and the Utah legislature have really restricted over the years the effectiveness of non-compete clauses and made them not necessarily impossible to get, but much more difficult. There are some strict standards on what you have to show, what you have to need, why you would request such a thing, a non-compete clause. And so just Utah law really has made them much more difficult. In fact, a lot of people have said that that non-compete agreements are pretty much void under Utah law. That's not true.
Yeah.
They're just very tough to adhere to.
So
to enforce, I should say.
Which non-compete clauses actually carry some weight and some heft? Do you have an example or anything you could describe a scenario where a non-compete would be acceptable before the court's eyes, so to speak?
You know, the biggest example I see the most, Dave, is in your industry. I mean, with media, with people who are moving between network to network, and you know, you get a personality, you get a face, you get somebody that the network promotes and makes very popular, and then they move to a different station. And this is just an example, but it's one that we can all sort of picture. And then that personality takes that personality to the other station and makes, you know, it gives them a lot more credibility because of what they did at their prior employer. Others, like you talked about with trade secrets, we can have, the FTC did not restrict what we call NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, which would prevent people from taking trade secrets, from taking customer accounts, from taking proprietary information from one employer to the other. So they still have, employers still have the option of exercising that, but the non-compete where you simply say, hey, you can't compete, you can't work in this market for another year or maybe permanently in exchange for your employment here, those are really frowned on.
Greg, I was just thinking, the FTC estimates 30 million Americans. I'm going to go with that number because I can't go out and count everybody under a non-compete agreement. But he's talking about some fast food workers they've been mentioning, casino workers. I think where maybe employers might have gone a little wrong on this is it became big news a few years ago when some of these employees were feeling like they had to sign these agreements, and they work in industries like they're security guards, and they're going to be seeking better benefits and better employment opportunities. And if they can't go across the street and get $5 more an hour or $3 more an hour, well, that's going to start making some headlines. And so it sounded like to me, 30 million Americans under these agreements just sounded like it. Things kind of started getting out of control and started to very much favor the employer.
And that's why the FTC jumped in, Debbie. That's exactly right. Because some of these non-compete clauses don't make any sense. Why you work at one restaurant and can't go across the street? Why you work at one fast food or other service station or something like that, and you can't go across the street and work for another one? Makes no sense. There's no reason to have a non-compete in markets like that, because it does exactly what you say. It really puts a hamper on getting other jobs, getting better employment. It limits what employees can make because they're tied into these non-compete agreements. So they're really hamstrung if they do want to quit and go work at another place, because they know that they can't. And so the employer can continue to pay them wages that may not be very very competitive, knowing that they have that agreement in place. And that's why the FTC jumped in. I know you guys have talked about lawsuits and other things that are going to be filed But I really think this is the way of the future, and it really increases competition in the marketplace. It increases employees being able to get better jobs and better paying jobs.
Greg Skordas, thank you for joining us, KSL legal analyst.
We'll go in depth in the 11 o'clock hour with State Senator Todd Weiler to talk about specifically like what Utah lawmakers have been doing with non-competes over the years up on Capitol Hill to, you know, kind of round out Greg's point that Utah lawmakers have been working on this for a number of years. So Senator Weiler is going to join the show and talk to us about what Utah law says about these non-competes. And that's been in place for a few years. But this also stifles people from going out and starting their own businesses if they sign a non-compete. You know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I had an opportunity. I had a chance to start my own little business. I was doing a little side hustle. It was a manufacturing little
job. Okay, so
not
with media or anything
like
that.
No, it wasn't with media. Totally different.
Okay.
But it was a little manufacturing job. It was the family thing that we did for a number of years. It's pretty simple. There's a market for it. I very easily could have broken out and started my own business. But it was more of a moral question.
So you didn't sign a non-compete with the person you were working for.
I think legally I absolutely could have done it. But what I did is I saw the way they had designed the machine. It would have been easy to replicate. I could have built this machine. And there was no patent on this machine. There was no legal question here. I absolutely could have, but I felt too guilty thinking, oh man, this guy designed this. He found the market himself. He taught me how to use it. My family knows how to use it. Is it right for me to
steal that business?
And ultimately I said no, I decided not to. But again, maybe I just left a whole bunch of money on the table and a great job opportunity.
You did. Do you have any regrets?
None? No regrets, Deb. Not one?
Right? Everybody knows what I'm talking
about.
Not one
letter?
Do you have any regrets? We tattooed that on your chest. I think this is a big story. It impacts some 30 million Americans, according to the federal government. It'll be challenged. Greg doesn't think that it might not go very far in court. I mean, it might get all the way up to this, but ultimately, this is the wave of the future. I think stories like this tend to, when we become aware of this, and then we learn that 30 million other Americans are doing, and then we learn that a casino worker couldn't even go across the street and get a job paying more with better benefits under a non-compete. It makes us more aware. I think it empowers us worker bees, as you say, when we go into the, you know, sign something that we have more rights than we might think we do. Straight ahead. It's the best news I've heard about the Great Salt Lake in years. It is literally the best news I've heard about GSL in years. KSL News Radio's Adam Small joining us next with a live report on what he knows about the Great Salt Lake.
Dave and Dujanovic. Special coverage of the top national story.
We went in depth at the 10 o'clock hour on this latest development regarding workers. There are 30 million American workers working under what's called non-compete agreements. These are fast food workers. Some of them are attorneys. They're journalists. We heard about a casino worker. So you can't just go across the street and get a job with better benefits, better pay, because you've signed, for example, a one-year non-compete, which means you cannot work within a certain radius within a year for a competitor. The FTC just created a rule that says these are void. They're void.
And some of the non-competes I get. I understand it. It may affect me negatively personally, right? But I can kind of see where the employer is coming from, because if I bring you in, I train you, I introduce you to all this clientele, the trade secrets of the business, and then you just pack it up and you become my competitor, or you go to my competitor, you start a new business and you're directly competing with me. Well, what a complete and utter failure for me.
But they haven't said non-disclosure agreements are illegal. You can still be told to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which means you can't take trade secrets and run across the street. Am I right, Senator Wyler? You're also an attorney, and you've done a lot of work on this here in Utah. So non-disclosure agreements, you still can require employees to sign, but it's these non-compete agreements. So if I have a non-compete agreement, I want to go work across the street under this new rule, I could now do that, right?
Well, theoretically, yes. And, you know, we had this debate at Capitol Hill. We've had it a couple of times here with the Utah legislature. And we, you know, we've kind of set a policy for the state. And the fact that, you know, Biden's administration is just going to eviscerate 30 million contracts and tell these employers who have invested all this money and their trade secrets into their employees, too bad. This is like the stereotypical federal overreach that I think most people fear.
I'm a little selfish because I'm a worker bee, right? So I do like when worker bees can compete and negotiate. And when you start putting in some of these restrictions, I understand from the employer side, but the worker bee wants to get paid as well.
Absolutely, Dave. And my question would be, what happens when people aren't willing to hire and invest in young people to give them all this training and all this time? Because look at Dave, if you and I had a business and we hired a kid, you know, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid, knowing he's not going to make money for us for 9 months, we're going to spend 9 months investing in him. On the 10th month, he goes to our competitor and gets a higher paying job because we've done all of that training. That's what these non-competes are designed to, you know, theoretically to prevent. And so it could actually hurt employees in that sense. I think this is a very one-sided argument that the Biden administration is making here.
Okay, let's get to what Utah law says right now about non-competes. Are there some protections in place for workers already aside from what the FTC rule says?
Yeah, well, one thing we do is we limit it to 1 year. You know, that's a relatively new law. And I know California has no non-competes, but most of the states, you know, like 47 states do have them. And, you know, so you can leave. And then they're also kind of generally limited. They used to be limited more geographically, like within 50 miles. Now with the internet and with the, you know, gig economy, that's harder to define. But, you know, I think the 1 year gives that cooling off period so you don't spend all this money investing in an employee. And then, you know, on Monday they work for you and Tuesday they work for your biggest competitor.
How much teeth is there to this? Do you think that this, I mean, obviously it already has been challenged in court, but what do you see if you're looking into your crystal ball here?
Well, I think this gets overturned, and you know, all of our presidents recently have passed unconstitutional laws, but I think Biden may be setting a record. You know, this is the same president who was going to put, you know, millions of people out of work under federal contracts if they didn't get the COVID vaccination just, you know, 3 years ago. And so I do think that the Supreme Court, I know the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to sue over this. I think this gets struck down. I don't even think it's a close call. This may be a 9-0 decision.
Can we go back for just a second to Utah law so I'm just clear? If I'm working at a fast food restaurant, you know, making $8 or $9 an hour, my employer asks me to sign a non-compete, can they do that under Utah law?
They can, and I do think that situation is probably an abuse, unless they're sharing like Colonel Sanders' secret formula with you, which they're not going to do that.
No, you know, I mean, that's going to be restaurant. A top-level, you know, executive who knows that.
Probably an abuse, unless there's some training. Like if you go to Subway and you're learning exactly, you know, how they make the bread and all that stuff, they may not want you to take that to their competitor, you know, without sitting out for a while. But I would say that does happen, and that is legal in Utah. They usually do it, right when they're hiring you, so you don't even think about it. They're like, oh, yeah, I want the job, I'll sign whatever. And I do think that they can be abused. But just to do a carte blanche, for instance, if I was selling you my business, hypothetically, and you pay me $1 million, and then the day after you pay me, I go out and I start my business under a new name, and I start competing with you for the clients I just sold you. Who's going to pay that money? I mean, that's a non-compete as well. And so there's all kinds of problems that are created if these are just all eviscerated with one stroke of, you know, of a bureaucrat's pen.
So, Senator Wyler, here's the thing. I like competition, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, generally speaking,
so,
I do.
So that, doesn't this inhibit competition when it comes to employment opportunities?
There's a slight inhibition, yes, but there's also the payoff that I've been trying to describe. And so my fear, again, if you raise minimum wage to $20 an hour, a lot of kids are going to lose their jobs. If you do away with this, a lot of companies aren't going to be willing to invest in someone like a 19-year-old kid with no experience, because they might hire them, again, knowing that they're going to spend 9 months training them before they become profitable. And so they're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Senator Wyler, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you, Todd. Thanks so much for giving us a jingle on this. I think it's a big development. We'll see where it goes in the courts. It's already been, slapped with a lawsuit. I think the ink wasn't even dry. It won't take effect if it does go into effect for 120 days. We reported that earlier in the show. But, yeah, there was an attorney in Texas who put his running shoes on and skedaddled out the door and ran into federal court and filed a lawsuit. Also, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying that it might take some legal action against this.
What a great example. If I were to sell you my business and then you pay $1 million for it, and then I turn around and I just rename the business, mm-hmm. I keep all the same clientele, that makes total sense why you would want to have a non-compete.
We just got some news here. Speaking of the Biden administration, let's see if you like this new rule that they put in place regarding airlines. If they mess up your flight... And you're sitting there at the airport for hours on end, you're going to have to get a cash refund now. So we're going to go over the new rules for airlines that I think are going to benefit customers in a big way. That's next.